Hey, this is the Poofcast. Scott Brennan, unfortunately, could not be with us due to extreme apathy.
He's engaged on important show business in another part of this wide brown land.
Yes. So we have Wes Snelling with us. So this is the fabulous Adam Richard, the available Wes Snelling, the punctual Toby Sullivan.
Voila.
And we're starting a brand new segment today.
It's really exciting.
And it's a brand new segment that may take us an entire podcast to get through.
Yeah, I sense maximum levels of self-involvement here.
Okay, Kate, what's yours?
Poofter.
Yeah.
Talk poofy to me.
Time now for the segment, Toby, that... That I still don't actually understand how he managed to talk us into, which is where Wes Snelling. Hi, Wes.
Hi.
I love everything he does. I loved Wes.
Wes just says a word and then checks out.
No, not anymore. I've got it. It's a new take on Wes's word.
Because Scott's not here. Scott's still in tax exile. Yes. So
he's
gone. There's only two of us to.
He's going to be gone for
this.
Several weeks.
I'll probably get more involved in the conversation.
Oh.
And it's got a new title.
Oh. Right.
Can of Wes.
Well, thanks for coming, Wes. That's
let's lift the lid on the can of Wes. Let's do this.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Gageism. And I don't mean gageism. I mean ageism.
In the gay perspective.
Gay ageism.
Yay.
I think a lot of people feel it very keenly.
Especially us when those twinks will suck us off. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Look, it's the elephant in the room.
I'm right here.
I think people feel that very keenly. I think often you'll see, you know, Lonely Hearts ads or whatever.
Yeah.
And people saying, oh, well, I don't really. But this
we get a lot of letters about it too.
And this goes to issues of the gay scene because people feel like the only way to engage with gay culture is on, like, gay bars.
Although, as we discovered when we went on our mega epic Game of Thrones
Brechtian
style
pub crawl,
the only bars that had people in them were
old man bars.
Were of people full of our age.
Yeah,
the
that's
kiddies,
true.
The kiddie winkies, I think they just sit around and grind.
Yeah, I think you're really right about that. But there's still a perception, at least, anyway.
Yeah. Well, all the old people go to the old people bars and go, there's no one here who's hot or 20. Place of shit.
But also there's all those things about that, you know, that typically people talk about in context of like women's body image and stuff, like all the media images of all, you know.
Well, I just got an email from DNA full of people barely out of high school.
Oh, really? I get those emails too, but I just skip straight through the articles.
There are no articles in that email.
Oh, aren't there? Oh, we must be on different lists.
There's also another fact that I want to bring up, which is, well, not a fact, but a topic, which is being a gay single person older. And I don't, if you're, when I say single,
why do you
mean,
look at me when you said that?
I don't mean in a relationship. I mean, if you're alone somewhere,
yes.
Or if you're, you know, the gay uncle. And you're older and you're physically older and stuff, and whether people look at you a bit differently and kind of go, well, you're the sleazy gay old guy.
Do I trust
you with children kind of thing?
Yeah.
Now, that's that whole, I don't, you know, poofters and pedophile thing, which has distressed me of late with the whole reporting of Jimmy Savile's exploits in the UK. He was a DJ and kids entertainer who it has come out now was abusing kids and mostly young girls. Like, but all the reporting of it seems to say, oh, yeah, he was bumming off boys. And it's like, I've never read any complaint from a boy. I've never heard anything other than him abusing
young women.
So why all of a sudden is he having sex with boys? Like that seems...
It's a lazy reflex.
Yeah.
It's a lazy reflex and it's probably some, you know, idiot journalist has jumped to a conclusion.
Yeah.
And then it's gone, oh shit, oh, it wasn't boys or whatever.
It wasn't, yeah, it's weird. Like Gary Glitter, he only ever seemed to abuse young girls.
Yeah.
Like there were no boys abused in that.
But what you're getting at, Wes, is that it does feel, for a lot of different reasons, it does feel a bit more awkward
Yeah.
to be older and gay.
Yeah. Like, I just feel, I can feel, and I don't know whether it's all in my head or not, but I can feel it as I'm getting older and my hair's getting greyer and stuff. That
your
I can
hair's
feel.
Been grey since you were 22.
Yeah, but I used to colour it.
Oh, okay.
I can't get away with the peroxide blonde anymore, nor would I want to. No, just, I don't know, not so much with family or anything like that, although extended family maybe. I just feel like people have a 1% question. They question it in their own heads.
Why and you're single?
Why I'm single, whether they could trust. It's the trust with children thing.
That's weird.
That's really strange. That's really
it's
weird.
It's the 1%, and it's just that I could... I don't know.
Because you do heaps of work with kids. Like you do...
There's another example.
You do all that class clowns shit.
I'm very aware that if I'm running kids' workshops, that parents... I have this fear that they're looking at me going, is this guy trustworthy?
Do you think your problem that is legitimate? Is that a real thing that they're thinking, or are you panicking?
Are you trying to tell us that you've been touching the children?
No. No, it's whether it is from my own.
Is it all in your head?
Absolutely. And is that something that exists?
Because we grew up in a time where that was the received wisdom, and we may have internalized some of that sort of stuff, perhaps. That you're thinking that.
And look, it doesn't help that I spend hours on the internet looking at photos of Nick Jonas, but he's nearly 20. He's nearly 20. I'm just putting that out there.
There's not a court in the land would convict you.
No, nearly 20.
Nearly 20. But you know what? Like, on the broader thing of gageism, like, I suppose it's easy to feel excluded.
It's funnier when you say it.
Gage, what are the gages? Gageism. Yeah, it is funny.
Yeah, gageism.
It is easy to feel excluded from, you know, all the, you know, DNA world and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But then by the same token, if you think about it, there are many other sort of stereotypes or self-images you can hook into.
Mm.
Because for every brainless twink kind of stereotype that you use to sort of structure your own sense of self, there's another one of, like, you know, a pair of old lovies running an antique shop in the country, or Ian McKellen, or Patrick Wyatt, or do you know what I mean? Like, there are many other types to model yourself on.
I think one of the biggest problems for us, our generation, is that we are, we're the largest group of older gay people now, because the people, when we were 20, the 40-year-olds were all dying.
There's a big demographic dip.
They were all dying, and it was, you know, it's only now that people are able to live a bit longer because of the medication breakthroughs and all that kind of thing. So I think we haven't had anyone to look up to for how do you age as a gay man.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
There weren't great numbers of people of our age now when we were 20.
There was Quentin Crisp.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like there were individuals. There are a few people who made it through, and there are certainly older queens, but there's not a large population of them.
You make a very good point, because the first generation of queens to grow old and, like, live their young life and their mature life as gay got hit by the bug.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of hollowed out. So, yeah, we kind of are on the leading edge of the first people to get to 50 having been gay the whole time.
Yeah.
Comfortably
and
gay.
Being out
and openly
and
gay.
Yeah, open about it. Like, it's a...
We kind of don't know how to do it.
No, we've got no mentors. We've got no one to look up to and go, oh, remember when so-and-so was 40, he was doing
and
all that stuff.
And also no social group to dovetail into.
Yeah.
There's no 50-year-olds to just start suddenly hanging out with.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously there are some. It's not Logan's Run. Not like every faggot over 50 has been vaporized by an alien death ray.
But there's no great big group of them.
No.
There's no massive group of people who are...
There's a reverse baby boom.
Who are 20 years older than us.
Yeah.
Like, who all still go, oh, well, once every 3 years we all go to this thing. It's like they're either running a B&B in Woodend or they're dead.
And also, in terms of, like, the gay scene, the corollary of that is that there's no critical mass for a commercial audience to build things around.
No, I've tried, actually.
Yeah, right.
I used to try to run nights that were, you know, the old Q&A.
Yeah.
And not the TV show, the you know, old Q&A.
It was like an indie disco. It was like, there was one in Adelaide called something else. It was like an indie not
Which started in our generation, essentially.
Yeah.
When we were in 20s our late 20s. You were all.
And there was 20s. A night called Witness Protection Program, and there was Club 44 and all these venues. And I tried to kind of recreate, with similar DJs, the same DJs even, create a similar vibe with for the age group of people who used to go to that to create an older version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a bit less frenetic.
No one wanted to come.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'd let people know who would want to, you know, who went in the day and just
Is that because we're just all old and sitting at home on our IKEA furniture watching QI? Thing,
can we talk about how hard it is to deal with a hangover at this age?
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Oh. Like I bounce back now like a rock in a lake.
Yeah.
Like I sink to the bottom and slowly make my way back up to the top.
My hangover starts before I even leave the night.
I used to be really good at it.
Yeah.
You know, I used to like spring back like, you know, an Olympic athlete, but I've got a glass jaw now.
Yes.
It takes fuck all and then I'm dead for like a day and a half.
I don't understand. I know. I get it. Like my body is older. Like it's like when old people fall over.
Yeah.
Like
if
you fall over when you're 20, you laugh hysterically, get back up and keep drinking. Now if I fall over, I probably cut something. I might bruise something quite badly.
But it changes your whole rhythm because you've got to plan your hangover at the same time as you're planning your night out.
But how desperately alcoholic are we?
No, but that's what I
need 4 days either side to catch up with Toby and Wes.
No, but I'm also what a comment
about priorities, Adam.
Is this why you? Because you're talking about dealing with a hangover, but you're talk about the nights that you go out. Right.
Yeah, we are mental.
I should say we.
I love how you're saying you in a pejorative term.
No, but I don't do one of these things anymore. But it was like we're talking about booze nonstop, alcohol, amyl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is like a giant heaving.
And it's a competition.
Petri dish.
It's like, who is going to get the drunkest the quickest?
Which one of you fuckers is going to pass out first?
It's not. It's not a competition. It's just that none of us ever learnt how to say no.
Yeah.
And
we are enablers
ever.
Of the highest
order.
Because I went out for one quick, quiet drink with Wes a couple of weeks ago and some other teenage poofters, like the Velvos and the
Jaspers. The hair bear bunch.
We'll get back to that. That's where this ageism started.
Anyway.
Yeah, right.
And we went out for a few drinks. I made sure I went late because Wes was finishing a gig and I wasn't going to be there till 10. So I was like, right, I'll go late. That means
I'll spend the minimum amount of time with the children.
Well, I thought I'll have a couple of drinks and then I'll get the last train home. So that's like maybe 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Next thing, Wes and I are having shots of fucking tequila. And
oh, no. Do you remember us on stage at the Laird?
Oh, that's right.
Singing happy birthday to the owner.
Well, that was another week altogether. That was.
Oh, was that a different night?
It was a different night. I spent like both weekends, the Sunday,
fetal,
incapable of standing or walking.
But this is
lucky
the point.
I have potato chips.
You're saying, Toby, you have to like plan the drunk and the hangover.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why then we go completely ridiculous over the top is because we feel like there's a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
And we're allowing ourselves to do it.
I've bought the hangover already. I'm not going to waste it.
Yeah.
Do you know who else does this? You know who else behaves like this? Young parents. You give young parents the night off. They've got a babysitter because it's their anniversary or a mate's wedding or something like that. And it is like fucking schoolies. It is like devastation. They are like siphoning petrol from minibuses to drink.
Yeah. I wonder if part of it is that, when we were younger, it was so hard to convince your straight friends to come with you to a gay bar.
Now they won't leave us alone.
But, it was one of those things. It was like you go, I want to go to the Peel, but you don't want to go on your own. You want to go with someone. But, we didn't really have many gay friends. It's like we hung around in a, just with gays and just went to the Peel all the time. So you'd go, oh, yeah, I'll come out with you to so-and-so's hen's night or, this party. And you'd be like, do you want to go to the Peel? And everyone's like, no. And so you just keep drinking until you go, I'm just going to the Peel on my own. And then you go and you bump into three people, and you have a fabulous time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I feel like when we go out drinking, it's kind of like, oh my God, it's a special night because someone wants to go to the Peel with me. I don't have to wait until I'm already hammered at 4 o'clock in the morning and sneak in.
Mm. It is a sort of special playground, I suppose, when we're all out.
Yeah. I feel like it's, but it's not like it's, So we can't just ring each other and go, do you want to go out drinking?
Yeah. I think you're right, Wes. I think it's just opportunity.
Mm.
Like, you know, I binge drank when I was 20, so yeah. I'm just doing the same thing now. But
well, I still feel 20.
I've just got less opportunities to do so.
I saw you feeling a 20-year-old the other day.
Oh, no. That's Scotch.
He's not here.
What happened? I want to know what you're going to talk about this night.
About this night.
With the Muppet Babies.
Oh, no. There was... I mean, we're
talking Buffy Jr.
No, nothing. Like, there's no. I love them dearly, and there's no.
They're great guys. They were in here just yeah. you know.
Yeah, Velvo in particular makes jokes about me being older and stuff.
Yeah,
it's just more.
He's obsessed with that though, because he's about to turn 30.
Yeah, totally.
So it's projection,
and it's all good. And in the same way that we, you know, call them the twink, the.
Yeah, yeah, it goes two ways.
Yeah, I guess in my mind, because I still feel, apart from the hangovers, I still feel like the young. Like yeah. I don't feel older, yeah. and it's no. only really my hair and wrinkles and bad jokes that give it away.
I have a mortgage,
and so you know, well, I don't have, you know, none of that. I still live like a student at TAFE, and so yeah, I kind of, I don't know. I just felt when I was out the night you're talking in question, it was all really lovely and fabulous, but I definitely felt like I was looked upon as the older guy.
Yeah,
you know, it was very much like.
But how bizarre was it, the people who kept coming up and trying to root Joel Creasy? Because while he's only 22, he looks 17. Like there's something ridiculously young looking about
him.
Well,
he's very
human
handsome.
Growth hormone. Chinese human growth hormone. You heard it here first. Joel Creasy is the Lance Armstrong of Australian comedy.
But there was people were kind of, you know, would sort of go, oh, hi, hi. And it's like, it was weird.
No, people weren't just saying hi, hi to Joel. People were coming up to me and everyone surrounding Joel trying to get him, like us, to hook them up with Joel. And I'm like, I'm not his entourage.
No.
I'm not his manager. I'm not his agent. And I'm not
and
his
also,
pimp.
You're twice his age, you fucking creepy old man.
Yeah, but then
the people who were coming up
me.
To us were older than us.
No, but you weren't trying to pick up Joel. You weren't trying to pick up
No, exactly. But if it's that thing of kind of like...
I know what you mean. You don't feel old, older than them necessarily.
Yeah.
But you are.
But you are, Blanche. You're in a wheelchair.
I'm actually 20 years older.
Yeah.
From that little twink.
Do you know, I was thinking about this the other day, that the difference between gays and straights is that when you get to a certain, for most people, right, it's not everybody, but probably a proportion of straight people have a thing that happens to them, which is they have children in their 30s or their 40s, and they go, oh, well, now I'm grown up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like they have an event, a milestone, this huge...
That forces them to be responsible.
Turning point that makes them face their own...
But some
we don't have
in
that.
Their 20s,
we just sort of slide down the hill, and sometime in our early 40s, just go, ah, it takes me 4 days to get over a hangover now. Maybe I'm old. You know what I mean? We don't have that punctuation mark.
I also noticed like there's a lot of like I've lost a lot of friends in their 40s. Like when I was in my 30s, who would just you know get to the end of the rope and go, oh, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done with this. I'm done with being an old poofter, and take their own life.
Truly.
And that is, it's happened like four, maybe six, seven times.
Holy cow.
And I just go, what happens? Like, what happens to you that you get to your 40s and just go, I'm old, I'm lonely, I'm gay, I can't see a future for myself because I can't see anyone that lives this life.
It's what you're saying before. It comes back to, we don't have anyone.
We don't have a generation ahead to go... Look at all our role models for being an older, single, gay man.
Yeah. Do you know what? I can sort of, like in a weird way, I can understand that impulse. You get to, let's pick a number, 45, 47, and you're single and you're gay and you look around your world, you just go, so what happened? Like if you've got a child, your job, you've got a new job. I've got to raise this child now. If you don't have a child, you just I can imagine getting to a point just going, well, so what? Am I just meant to keep doing this for the next 30 years?
Yeah, am I meant to just go out and get drunk with my mates and drink tequila shots and then feel like shit for 3 days after?
Am I just, what am I meant to, what is the fucking point of this? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like my job is what my job is.
Yeah.
Like at that, by the time you're late 40s, you know, you're going to be retiring sort of in 10 or 15 years. Like you know what your career is.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of done. There's not a lot of family around you and certainly older gay men are less likely to have like other extended family around them, you know. Maybe your parents are dead and so
or you were cut off from your family when you were really young.
What am I fucking meant to do? I mean to just keep like polishing the silverware for 20 years.
Living like a student.
You know what? It's not a, you know, I'm done. I'm not depressed or anything. I'm just
finished.
I just can't be fucked just doing this over and over again.
I'm depressed listening to you.
I can imagine a scenario.
He's in a relationship, like, and they, you know, that's a different thing.
Peter wouldn't let me go. Yeah.
Who'd do the dishes?
Yeah, but I think it is. I you know, I think obviously it's not. It's too much to take your life for it for that reason. But it is. There's no. It's what is. You know, kids.
Yeah. What am I? Yeah. What am I gonna?
I'm really depressed, Toby.
Oh, sorry, Wes.
Oh, sorry, Wes. Oh, cheer the fuck up, Wes. Oh,
drunk and take 4 days off.
No, but we've got other things. We do things.
We have careers.
I think there's going to be a crossover. I think there's going to be a period. It's where it's like, and maybe it is once it's past 45-ish or something, where you do cross over to another side, to another place. Like actually the majority of people, I think it's irrelevant of whether you're married with kids and stuff with it. I think everyone still goes through a form of menopause.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
And so my parents did it, you know, and my dad's life started when he was 50.
This is the flip side. When you get to a point and you've got no encumbrances, you've got no...
Kids have gone and
you've
grown
up. You've got no kids. You've got no one needing you. I'm going to be a dancer, you know. Yeah. So it is about how
start
you approach
a new career.
It.
So actually everyone does go through it. It just feels like...
Yeah, sure, you know, sure.
Because I know that... you know, I just know. I just can refer to my parents because I know them, kind of.
Post to those other people.
Well, you know that
I've
thing.
Met
with
him
Dad,
once.
It was,
or twice
you know,
at
he's
a party.
50. He got his. We'd all grown up and moved out. He was divorced, and he found a lovely lady, and now they've got a house with a heated pool. Oh, I must go visit him.
Oh, that pool is fucking awesome.
It's brilliant. But you know, like then he's to him. He's
an
now
opportunity.
In the prime of his life. He's now like 65.
Sure.
Healthy, you know, has beaten cancer, all of this. And I don't know. I think there's a period of time probably between 50 and 60 where it's something else.
You've just got to
you cross it, you
learn to play it differently.
On.
Have you guys, I've been having this since I turned 40. Well, now I'm 41. But I kind of feel like that I need to pass something on and not chlamydia. But...
Done.
But no, like, I feel like my job now is, you know, I've done a lot of things in my career that I'm really happy with and, you know, that I've really enjoyed and I think are awesome. And so now I feel like my position is to give advice and to mentor and to kind of...
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that impulse for legacy.
Yeah.
You know, and particularly if you've got like particular expertise...
I've got a lot of expertise, talking shit.
Or if you are confronted with you know, the Muppet Babies coming up or whatever, you know, I think that's a really natural impulse to want to leave some kind of lipstick trace.
It is, you know, weird. It's like, but I've never thought I was really that good at anything because... You never do.
But it's because that there's a new crew passing through who are not as good at it as you.
Yeah, until you see people go and you're like, oh, why is he doing that? Oh, yeah, no one's told him.
Yeah. And you're mature enough not to see it as a threat or be weird about it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sure, you want to pass it on.
Because Wes does a lot of mentoring.
Mm-hmm. Not gay mentoring, though.
No, not gay mentoring. This is how you suck a penis. Oh, well,
it's generally cabaret mentoring.
No, but that's what I mean. You do a lot of that stuff where you go, oh, well, this is, you know, you'll look at someone's act and go, well, you know, it stopped being funny about 20 minutes in. You've got 40 minutes of not funny bits.
But it's more about actually just kind of coaxing people through, because it's with cabaret and comedy, it's generally their own stuff.
Yeah.
And
their personal
stuff and about coaxing them through. It's being a therapist.
Yeah.
And coaxing people through their kind of ego and confidence levels and, you know.
Do you know what else? As well as like that sort of stuff that I haven't done nearly as much as you guys have, but that stuff, yes, it is great to be altruistic and leave a legacy and stuff. Let's be honest. It is a little bit of a stroke of the ego
to
demonstrate It how much you know.
It totally is.
Like, it feels really good.
But it's not just that, but it also feels like when you go, oh, no, I do know this.
Yeah.
I know. Like, when, especially when, you know, sometimes you'll throw out an opinion and you'll go, is that really the right advice? Am I giving this person the right advice?
Yeah.
And they take it and they act on it. And then you go, you see them, they're like 12 times better. And you're like, oh, no, that was the right advice. That was perfect advice.
But I genuinely just like the fact that if I see someone who's amazing but just has not got the equipment, the mental equipment to quite put it all together.
Or they might not have the stagecraft. Like, they might, you know, be standing up at the back out of the light. And it's like, go stand in the fucking lights, you idiot.
Yeah.
I'm just doing something as simple as that.
About how we can be mentors in the gay scene, especially talking Puffy, because, you know, go out and get trash and take Emil. Woo!
But I think what we're saying here is that, you know, eventually there comes a time where that is not fulfilling. And that's not fulfilling for any of us.
It's not.
It hasn't stopped us doing it.
It's not the only thing we do.
It's calmed
not the
down.
Only thing we do.
It's definitely calmed down.
Or we can't keep up anymore. Like, that's the thing. We're a wheelchair bound.
Do you realize it's 3 months since we did that pub crawl?
Really?
Yeah.
It took a bit of my soul. I'll never replace.
You know, the worst thing was there were points I was listening to part of that pub crawl and going, I don't remember.
No
this.
Memory. I don't remember anything that happened at Laird.
I don't remember. Oh, I remember the Laird. I don't remember Scott talking into the microphone through the glory hole. And I was like, I can't even pretend to remember this.
Sorry, I haven't listened to it yet. That just made me want to. Firstly, when you were talking, was I there? No. And then I realised, no, I wasn't. And I haven't heard a Nat Glory Hole talk yet. Have to listen. Thanks.
Yes, that was a moment I was like, I don't remember us.
Is that happening?
We went upstairs at Circuit and recorded up there for who knows how long. I edited the fucking thing and I still don't remember it. But yeah, I think, you know.
Look, if that's the reality, that's what we do.
Yeah.
What, we should pretend that we're all going to a, you know, an Equal Pride knitting fair or something afterwards so people listen to a shitty podcast on the train to work?
But I don't even know, Toby, like, I don't even know what you – I have more of an idea of you, Adam, because I've spent a hotel room with you for 2 weeks. I know what you do in the early hours.
What do I do?
Yeah, well, Toby, what, like, on it, you – so when you're not with Talking Puffy going out once every 3 months, what is it you do – I mean, apart from your boyfriend too, what is it you do nightly? What do you do?
I don't know anymore.
Do you watch Q&A reruns? What do you know?
I don't anymore. I spent the last 6 months exclusively studying and watching K-pop on YouTube. That's literally all I've done.
He watches a lot of YouTube.
I watch a lot of YouTube.
Right. And that's your general nightly thing? Do you have a routine?
I guess so. Sure, yeah.
Do you have dogs?
I roll bandages on Monday nights. Tuesday nights is cardio yoga Pilates.
Yoga Pilates.
In the old days, I would go to gigs a lot.
Yeah.
In the old days, I would be at gigs 3-4 nights a week. But I don't have that anymore.
That was your job.
That was my job, which I don't have anymore. So I'm sort of at a bit of a loose end, I suppose.
Mm. Is that weird, having, like, being in the middle of nothing?
Yeah, it is pretty weird because, you know, I had that job for a long time.
Yeah, very long time.
And so there is a bit of a, oh, fuck, why am I talking about this? There is that.
You don't have to.
It's difficult. It's difficult because I've been working in comedy for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not now, so I kind of do have that of getting to Tuesday night and going, what do I like?
What do I do on Tuesday?
What else do I do? And this is a problem of having your, that we all share, of having your profession is other people's leisure.
Yeah.
Is that it eats, each half of that eats the other.
Yeah.
You know, and your leisure is your job. And so one half, you know.
I know, I only work at normal people's leisure time. Like, I work in the morning.
Yeah.
When people are getting ready to go to work.
Yeah.
And I work at night time when they've finished work. And then people are like, why don't you come out with us? It's like, because I work at both ends of the day. I work at these times when you do these things. Yeah.
But what happens is that the only time you have leisure is when you work out how to integrate it with work or do half and half. And so you never, I found over time that I have lost the muscle of just having fun.
Well, that's why I started this podcast, because I just wanted to hang out.
Sure.
Once every 3 months for about 8 hours.
Tick. So that's a weird thing.
It is weird. Did we answer?
I don't even remember what the word.
Your can of Wes.
Can of Wes. I love it.
Gageism.
Gageism.
Now let's talk about gageism.
So basically, in wrapping up this very special episode of the Poofcast, where we just talk about what old cunts we are.
Don't kill yourself.
Don't kill yourself. There's plenty more to come.
Yes.
And we are at the frontier. We are at the frontier of being old poofters.
That makes it exciting.
It is. Mm,
yeah.
When you think about it, that we are the largest group of old poofters in the world.
That makes me feel like I'm going to kick a hole in the wall and do something.
I feel like we need to start something. We need to start a movement.
Yes.
And not the kind of movement that puts terror into the hearts of Toby Sullivan. But yeah, like, I think we need to...
We could do it like, the grumpy old fags.
Yes!
Or something. I don't know.
You're not alone, old cunts.
I just want to find a way to be gay, old, and not involved in regional Victorian hospitality industry. That is all I want.
Hello, I'm George Takei.
Talk poofy to me.
And now it's time for... Oh, no, I was doing Mother Horan voice. if only it was something that good. It's the Grunt Report. It's Grunty McFuckring.
Oh, my God, can you just stop fucking talking? It's like you're speaking with a special frequency that only dogs and drunk sluts who trade their grandmother's pearl necklace for half a scabby dick can hear.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, have a heart, mate. Try and open your mouth only when you've got something useful to say, like, sorry, I'm still fucking here. Besides which, I don't have time to stuff around this week. I've got to use this promo spot for actual fucking promo. Oh. And unfortunately, I'm not able to share my general wisdom with you all, which none of you Labia Moronia ever listen to anyway. Otherwise, my Good Friday appeal to raise money for a rooftop ammo pool at Wrongens would have gone a bit better. Speaking of Wrongens, that's just the trouble. For years, boys, I've been the only gaytrepreneur in town, but all of a sudden, fuck me, I've got some competition. What do you think but some crap sack has opened a new gay bar right across the road from mine?
Oh, no.
Some knobwart has opened an all-classy, like, tranny piano bar, eh? Kind of joint where some drag queen sings show tunes around a piano. It's called Bettina Baterna's Castle du Cabaret. Well, that's when I knew what I was up against. Bettina ba-fucking Turner. I remember her from her old lay girls days. When I was still a twink 40 or 50 million years ago, I spent a summer working as a busboy and choreographer's assistant at lay girls. You know, the sort of thing. Step 2, 3, skip 2, 3, kick, ball, change, suck an old man's dick. So believe you me, I know exactly where old Bettina Baterna has buried the skeletons in her closet and what STIs the poor old vultures died of in the first place after growling her during interval, no doubt. Castle du Cabaret, my fucking ass. More like cunt full of catheter knowing Bettina. That old mole makes Jeffrey Edelston look like Zac Efron. You know that old story about Ozzy Osbourne biting the head off a live bat at a gig once? Same thing happened to a twink in the front row of one of her shows in the 80s. Look, the old bitch might well be a walking anal scraping wrapped inside a Jenny Key jumper, but I can't take the risk. I might have to lift my game. Which is not to suggest that a night out at Wrongens is already anything less than an entertainment spectacular. I mean, didn't I put up streamers last Saturday? And Pedro's chucked a couple of fur oranges inside a hollowed-out pineapple for tropical night next week. This is your first and final warning, Bettina, if you're listening. Stand by for some big things at Wrongens, you old bitch.
Bettina Baterna. She's set up some stiff competition. Well, that was the Poofcast. Thanks for coming.
Oh, look, thanks so much for listening to me talk about myself for another 40 minutes.
Well, I would like to thank Wes for coming up with a segment that takes us an entire podcast to get through. We may never do the can of Wes again, but...
No, do the can of Wes. I love it. I get to talk more.
I don't think everyone likes that, Wes.
I don't care. Who's still listening?
We'll be back next time.
Why are you still here? Good point.
Yeah, go
home. Go outside. The sun is shining. Walk a fucking dog or some shit.
Some of our listeners are in Sweden. The sun only shines for 6 weeks there.
Oh, the Swedish guy, yep.
Yeah, we're here and we're queer and we're doing all right. talking.